Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're on the 16th chapter of Numbers now. I was just watching the news, and it's just amazing how stupid or ridiculously ignorant people are for watching the news. It's what's happening now is this is in regard to it's the same thing as we're reading in the 16th chapter of Numbers, what's happening in the world today. It's a carefully staged terrorist scare. It's like everything is staged for the Catholic invasion in this country. And it's just coming out as I brought out many years ago how that the labor board... that the Vatican runs the labor board. Raymond A. Donovan even had the unmitigated gall to cause me to and have churches to pay salaries to people that they take off the streets, feed, clothe, house, build homes for and everything, and to pay for their doctor bills and their health foods and their all their needs and pay their taxes, not their taxes, but to pay their... yeah, if they do work, we do have to pay taxes, but also to take care of any dentist and so on, then we have to, they said that we have to write out checks for people that are just, some of them were just bums off the street, and a lot of them couldn't even work because they'd been so damaged by drugs. And it is an anything that, you know, I can't live with. I've lived with it now for about 40 years. And, but the people can't understand why they're out of work. But what it is the labor board has raised the price of labor so high in the United States that we have to use overseas labor, cheap overseas labor, to make cars and everything. And the people that are in the United States that are running... automobile factories and steel companies and all this can't compete with them because we can buy things from overseas that are so much more reasonable. And that is exactly the goal of the Vatican. And, of course, people don't like to hear the Vatican, the Vatican, the Vatican, the Vatican. But, I mean, you have to hear it because it happens to be the truth. And the Bible tells you that. And if you don't want to receive what the Bible says, well, then you are sick in your head. And you're lost, and you're never going to be saved if you don't start listening to what the Lord said. People are hungry, and they're out of work, and they can't see that the whole scheme of the Vatican, the whole government, the cult, the one-world government, the one-world cult, is trying to get everyone, enforcing everyone into a one-world religion because they say that it's just going to cause too many wars. But the thing is that we Christians, born-again Christians, have never created any war. We do have a spiritual war against these things that are going on. But the thing is that we don't use carnal weapons. We just pray to the Lord, and we preach the gospel. And that's the thing that these Catholics that have invaded the whole country, and people are not even wise enough to understand it yet. But the thing is still we have salvation, we have the Lord, and we have our souls, our spirits are intact. But now this chapter 16 has to do with the same thing. Everything this court has started staging conspiracy against Moses. And so, you know, whenever you do anything, they don't realize that everything is carefully planned. They're saying that President Bush is a born-again Christian. If he's a born-again Christian, then so is the devil, okay? And it's for sure the devil isn't. President Bush is a Catholic. And it's amazing, you know, and so is President Clinton. They lie to the American public because it's a stage play. To them, it's a stage play. It's Satan's stage play to take over the world and to deceive the people of the world to where they can't make it into the kingdom of God because they're believing these Catholics instead of the Word of God. And we'll see in chapter 16 here in Numbers. Now, am I bitter about it? No, because I'm saved. even if I get killed, it doesn't really matter to me, because I'm, you know, my, the second that that would happen, I'd be in the kingdom of heaven. Now, there really isn't anything that anybody can do politically about this. I mean, any of these idiots that are trying to tell you that you've got to filter back in, you've got to get into the political scene, do you think that you, a little wart, could make a difference in the political arena? They'd swallow you up, because it's a stage play, and if you're not one of the actors, they're just going to get rid of you. Amen? Yeah. It's carefully staged. I mean, this is something that's been planned by Satan from the time that he originally gave this cock and bull story to Eve. You know, that she's going to be like God, and she's going to know everything God knows, and all this sort of thing, and that she'll live forever, and that God will never kill her, and she'll never go to hell. Thou shalt surely not die. But where is Eve? I don't see her around today. Do you? Anybody meet Eve? You know? Adam's wife? Have you seen her around lately? She did die, amen? And you're going to die, too. And it all depends on, you know, on what you believe as to where you're going. Now, the Bible says, believe on the word of God. No, you'll say it, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the word of God. So believe the word of God and thou shalt be saved, is what the real thing is. So we know that there's a carefully planned, carefully staged thing. These people get up and they just say anything that the script says for them to say. There's a prince of the air, the devil. Okay, and so the prince, he's not the king of the air, but he's the prince of the air. And he, this means that he can come at any time to anybody that he wants to, because you can't see him. And he can put all kinds of ideas in your head. And he's got plenty of people on television and in the newspapers, in them writing books and in the schools and everything, planting things in people's minds. The prince of the air is doing these things to you poor, ignorant creatures. And you're too ignorant to know, and you just, he's got everybody believing that they know it all. And really, you're so far gone that you don't know anything. Because if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're blind and you know nothing. You're blind and you're dead. And the Bible says that the dead know nothing. So, You know, people just keep getting it. When you're watching the news, you should realize that everything they're saying is carefully planned, carefully staged. It's a stage play. And, what way should we go? Pick up the Bible. The Bible tells you the way to go. Amen? Mm-hmm. And it tells you what to believe. You'd be so much better off if your mind, if you're so weak-minded and so stupid, that the best thing for you to do is turn the television off and spend these last moments of your life, and because you're not going to live that much longer, to that you would read the Bible. Even this terrorist scare, that's planned. It's staged. It's a staged, planned, carefully staged, and very carefully planned to make you terrorized of this unseen satanic being. This monster from out in nowhere could come and get you at any time, any place. And they're laughing their heads off in the Vatican's chambers. I could see the Pope, who is totally possessed with the devil, and his cardinals slapping their legs and cackling, just giggling with glee and wiggling with glee, you know, as they see the people with their, and they see this carefully planned stage play, this carefully staged act going on television. And they know they've got the TV tied up, and they're the ones that are feeding the media what to say to you. And then they'd make different presidents and kings and other people look guilty as rain, and the people that they're making look guilty aren't acting guilty, because they want everybody to lose confidence in the United States of America. There's no strong leadership in the United States. Even your clergy says that there's no one perfect. Well, I want to tell you that anyone that walks in the Spirit is perfect. According to the Spirit of the Lord, I'm perfect. And anyone else that walks in the Spirit of the Lord is perfect and holy. And if they say, and it's for sure they're not perfect. They just believe everybody is like them. And those are carefully staged words. It's a script to make you feel that, well, no one is perfect, even the President of the United States. President Clinton was a liar, and he lied about being a born-again Christian, and he lied about having sex with Miss Lewinsky and all these other people. And President Bush is a liar. He says he's a born-again Christian, and then he builds memorials unto the Pope and says that he's going to enforce everything the Pope says here. And great leaders that were before our time, like Abraham Lincoln, said, the minute that you let Catholicism come into this country, the country is finished. And now who's running for president of the United States? Two Catholics. One of them is a bald-faced liar saying that he's a born-again Christian, just like President Clinton was. He said he was a Baptist. Well, that's just about the same as Catholicism, because they believed that you can just say a few Hail Marys. The Baptists believe once saved, always saved. You can just keep on sin. They don't believe in the power of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in miracles. They think you're crazy if you start telling them about the miraculous things that God is doing in your life. And so all this, there's different levels of people that have believed different levels of lies. But why listen to any of them when we have the Bible? Why listen? The Bible says that we are to be perfect, or we can't get into heaven. We must be holy, and the Bible states that all this is staged. Now, anytime there's a conspiracy going on, it's all poo-poo, you know, just conspiracy theory. What I'm talking about is not a theory. It's an actual conspiracy of the devil to take over the entire world, to deceive everyone in the world. And the Bible says that the whole world is deceived. Satan deceiveth the whole world, the entire world, with the exception of those of us who are born again and study the Bible and do what it says. If there's deception, that means that there's been a big lie, all kinds of lies that people have believed, because they're deceived into believing that they know the truth. And, I mean, you can't even hardly witness to anybody these days, because everybody thinks they know it all. And as the Lord says, they're dead in their sins, and they're blind, and the dead don't know anything at all. So here we have a group of people in chapter 16 of Numbers that are causing a conspiracy, or create a conspiracy against Moses. They actually were planning to stone him to death, and Aaron, many times, and they also wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua to death for saying the true report about the land of milk and honey, the land that has provides everything for people that are going to be living there. And so, you know, and it's the same thing. They want to stone us to death, you know, people like myself that are telling you what the Lord says. And look what happens to all these people that believe these conspirators. These people that are carefully staging your deception. Because everything you're learning today in the schools, on the news media, in newspapers, in books, magazines, and everything that you're learning in schools, colleges, universities, is a planned deception for you. And so what are you learning but to be deceived? And you're not, everybody's just like abandoning the Bible, the Word of God. And therefore people don't know anything. And it's very lonesome in this world to be the one that, you know, when you know the Word of God, because there's no fellowship, no kinship with anybody but the Lord. And that's enough for me, amen? Yeah. I've got my Jesus, and that's enough, amen? I've got God Almighty, and I've got the truth. And it just makes me sad to see so many people that are deceived, to see so many people that are going to hell. And it just seems like they really think they know it all. What a shock for them. The Lord gave me a vision of it. I didn't actually see into hell, but I heard them. I saw the flames the shadow of the flames on a brick wall, like a fireplace. It was like purple bricks and black bricks, and there was these dark flames. It's like you could see them, the motion of them on the fireplace, big fireplace. And you could hear people in there say, "Oh my God, I mean, there's so little of the truth in this world. Well, we believed the wrong thing, and we didn't, oh my God, hell is really here." And it was so obscure because we just thought it was the old Bible, this old news, and that it doesn't pertain to today. And here we are, we're in hell, and oh my God, it's real, and we're never going to get out. Oh my God, and they were screaming to the top of they're screaming their heads off down there. And they just says, "Oh my God!" I mean, they were just like begging for, they were just so disappointed with their own selves for thinking they knew something and they didn't know it at all. And then they found it out too late. Know-it-alls, know-nothings. That's what you people in the world are: is know-it-all, know-nothings. My God, when are you gonna wake up and get saved? Well, anyway, let's speak about this conspiracy in the book of Numbers. Let's ask the Lord to anoint it. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life and for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that this carefully staged deception that's in this world, that you've pulled us out of that, and you've made us to know the truth. I know you've made me know it, and maybe these other people don't know it, but Lord, you really tuned me in. And I'm so happy that I've seen you face to face with my eyes wide open when I was wide awake. And Lord, I know that you exist, and I know I've seen heaven and hell. I've seen myself in heaven and Sue in heaven. And I've seen what it's like and how beautiful we are in heaven. And I've seen the truth. And my God, I've seen you, Lord Jesus, face to face. Hallelujah. And I've seen the devil himself. I've seen these things, and I know right from wrong. And Father God, anoint this chapter, Lord, so that people will be able to receive the truth from your word, so that they can live. If anyone rejects the truth, for God's sake, Lord God, they're doomed, they're damned forever. Let people have enough. Yeah, to get some kind of fear of you in them, Lord, to believe your truth and to get their eyes off this carefully staged, deceptive news media, and to save their money, don't go to universities or colleges or schools. Wise people up, Father God, give them the wisdom to pull their children out of public schools and to homeschool them. And make sure that they are very careful to choose the right curriculum for them. And Lord, that they just put their eyes on you and you alone. Because that's all we have in this whole universe is you. Everything else is going to burn and is chaff. Lord, let us learn another lesson from your word in this chapter, chapter 16 of Numbers. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go.
Numbers chapter 16, Korah's Rebellion, King James Version, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, verse 2, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel.
See, this is carefully planned, carefully staged. Amen?
Amen.
They got them all together. A conspiracy here. And Moses had the truth. He talked to God face to face. And these weasels were the exact opposite. They're possessed by Satan, and they're deceived by Satan. They are Satan's possession, just like the people of this world are. The whole world system is going to hell. Now then, go ahead.
250 princes of the assembly.
These princes of the assembly. Okay, then what?
Famous in the congregation, men of renown.
Yeah, so, it's the same thing on the news. You see all these men of renown, the Senate, the Congress, the President, the Vice President, the whole administration, Colin Powell or whatever, and these kings and the Pope with his neck bowed down, you know, because he can't straighten his neck up anymore. I don't think the Lord likes him very well. Moses, at 120 years old, had his full force in him. He could walk and talk, and he didn't need to be carried around in a wheelchair, or he didn't walk around with a bubble over him for fear that somebody's going to, that he was going to die. The Pope's afraid to die because he knows where he's going. Okay, and so here's all these top officials. Then what?
Verse 3.
And they were weasels. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the same thing in this country and throughout the world. They're all Catholics or obedient to the Roman Catholic regime, which is the same regime that deceived people into letting the Pearl Harbor be bombed, and also the same regime that allowed that built Germany up. It's the same regime that destroyed the World Trade Center. It's the same regime under the President Clinton, former President Clinton, to destroy the people at Waco. I mean, really nice people, men, women, and children. He's still not stood trial for it. And he's taken it upon himself to write a book and mention me in it with a pack of lies, I mean, about Susie and myself. And it just shows that these great men of renown, that we trouble them so much with the truth that they, in their attempt to try to save face somewhat, carefully stage words to try to bring other people, people of God, down to their own guttural level. That's what they do. Okay, and that's what they use the media for. And they've gotten in such panic now that they're actually using former presidents to try to degrade and pull me down to their rotten, well-known rotten level. But, you know, everything that the Lord has done is carefully staged too, because he tells you in detail what is going to happen, and everything that he said was happening is happening right before our very eyes. And the devil knows these things are going to happen, and that's what he's all he's concerned about now is taking every soul, every human soul that he can, to hell with him. He knows the time is short, just like everybody has heard. But the deception is so strong that even the very elect could be deceived if possible. And that possibility would be as if you got your eyes off the Word of God. If you stop studying, and if you stop keeping your eyes fixed on the Lord, you can be deceived very well if you start listening to the media. And if you start listening to all these carefully staged movies, carefully planned to corrupt your soul, to make you feel that the violent way of life is the best way, or the sexual permissive way of life is the best way, when the Bible plainly tells you that it'll send your soul to hell. People are very willing to murder nowadays because they see that there's no death sentence. The Lord says if somebody murders somebody, even babies that are unborn babies, that they're to be put to death immediately. So the whole administration is to be put to death according to God, and he's going to put them to death in eternity forever. Now, we don't put them to death because we live in a lawless society, and we are not part of this lawless society. We are part of the sinless society, the society of those that are going to spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven. But we can warn people that you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, hell and the lake of fire. You hear people say, well, we went through hell. No, you haven't been through hell yet, but you're going to be there. And I promise that to President Clinton and Bush and the Pope and the entire administration, because they've chosen not only to deceive, but they themselves, the Bible said, are deceived. They keep deceiving people, and they themselves become more and more entrenched in their own deception. And what can we do about it? Just all we can do is just trust in God. What did the people of Egypt the Israelites, when they were in Egypt, what did they do? They just cried out to God to deliver them, and he did. And he destroyed Egypt. And that's, we cry out to the Lord, and he'll destroy this world government. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's a new book out that they call the One World Asylum. It's regarding the United Nations, the UN Insane Asylum. Because they're insane, and the Bible says that they would be insane in the last days. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the book is probably written by one of them that kind of slaps them on the wrist and then builds them up as well. So anything that even has a positive connotation to it is still deceptive. Just stay with the Bible. You know, reading all these books of people that are unsaved are nothing but more deception to your soul. So stay away from the supposed to be, quote, educational system, unquote, and from the media. The media has absolutely no truth. I don't even believe it when they report an accident. It's getting that bad. All right? I just don't believe them. And what it does is it just makes me more and more upset to see the way they're carefully staging everything. And then just look at here. Now, these people are rising up against Moses and all these men of renown, just like the administration, just like the Pope, people respect. All of Israel respected these people. But let's see what God did to them. Okay, continue on.
Verse 3, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy.
Yeah, the Lord told Moses exactly what to do, and they're saying, you take too much upon yourself. In other words, the Lord is telling me exactly what to do, and people, these are supposed to be holy men, say, he's a cult. Well, to them, I'm a cult. To me, and to God, they're a cult. But to God, I'm a perfect person. I'm walking in the Spirit. And I'm doing what he says, and I'm not being afraid of them. But them saying those things about me, or these people saying these about Moses, is a stage play. It's carefully staged to make the people of Israel rise up against Moses and to make Moses feel like he's insecure or something, and then possibly get an inferiority complex and then break out into acne. And they didn't really have any acne cream back there, but Moses wasn't that kind of a guy, because he talked face to face with the Lord like I did, and you can't move me, Satan. Okay, you cannot move me, and you know it. And that's why you've given up on me. You won't let the media interview me any longer, live. You won't let them do it. And you won't mention my name, good or bad, because you want people to forget the memory of me. Now, you've even got people putting out tracks that are so haywire and totally contrary, against what I believe, mostly against what I believe. Some of the things I believe are in them, but there's so many derogatory things that says, I, Tony Alamo, said this, and I, Tony Alamo, said that. And you're doing everything, and you're carefully staging this thing to make people believe that I'm as crazy as you are. Now, there's books on you that you're insane, and the main book that says that is the Bible. Okay, the Bible says that the people would be perplexed in the last days, those that are running government, and that they're mad, which means insane. You people in government are insane. You're an insane asylum. And I'm just saying this for your own good. You could have perfect peace and a sound mind, not an insane mind any longer, if you just receive what the Lord says. Get saved. And quit lying about God, about God's people, about the Bible, and yourselves. Quit lying about yourselves, telling people how great you are. You're phonies, and anybody that's got any sense know you're phony. And everybody that has any sense knows that I'm for real and that God is for real as well. You're dead in your sins and trespasses, and the dead don't know anything. Your rhetoric, you're a stage play, that's what you are, carefully staged. Then what?
You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them.
Well, the Lord said that's something different than that. The whole congregation, they said every one of them are holy. Then why did God kill every one of them except two? If they're so holy. Amen?
Amen.
See what the lie is right there. Then what?
Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation.
As though they lifted themselves. That's what Clinton said. It says that I promoted Susie. No, God promoted Sue and myself. And Moses didn't raise himself up. God called him out of a burning bush. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
God called me from a vision. I had several visions. That's how many it took to get me, because I was as deceived as any more deceived possibly than almost anybody. I didn't know what was going on, and I admit it. But now I know the truth. After 40 years now, I've really learned a lot about the big lie in this world and the Lord. Okay, read that again.
Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord.
Above the congregation, like he rose himself up. God put him in charge of everything, and God only talked to Moses face to face. Then what?
Verse 4. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face.
Yeah, not because he was, he just framed God. He fell upon his face to pray to God. Say, Father, I mean, look at this, what they're saying. What should I do? What are you going to do, Father? Then what?
Verse 5. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy.
Yeah, that the Lord separates the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the chaff. Amen? That's
Amen.
What's going to happen tomorrow, as Moses said that, okay? Mm-hmm. He didn't say, oh, I'm right and you're wrong. He didn't stand up there like a, you know, a punk and say that. He says, hey, tomorrow we're going to find out if all of you are holy, okay? Mm-hmm. Which one of us is righteous. And that's what's going to happen with you weasels out there in the world. You're going to find out who was telling the truth and who wasn't. You're going to find out if I'm the liar and you're the truthful ones, or if you're the liars and I'm the truthful one. You're going to find that out. And soon enough. Then what else?
Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him.
Okay.
Verse 6. This do, take you censers, Korah and all his company. Verse 7. And put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. Verse 8.
Now, in this world, everybody thinks they know everything. They don't know anything. I mean, I've never seen humanity in such a stupor as I see them today. You're stupid, and you know nothing. Then what?
Verse 8, and Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Verse 9, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel, to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? Verse 10, and he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also?
And the Lord chose the priesthood. Then go ahead.
Verse 11, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him?
Yeah, why are you carefully staging this plan, you know, to deceive everybody in the congregation and to take that which God said is holy and then just saying that it's nothing and that you're equal to Moses and Aaron? You are not priests. The priest is just Aaron and his sons. And you're not the leader of the entire congregation. Moses is. And God called Moses and not you. except to off another level that's three lower than Moses. And that isn't enough for you. You want to take over the priesthood and my job as well. Okay, then go ahead. That's what Moses is saying. Then what?
Verse 12, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Verse 13, is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey, to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us?
See, they're saying that out in the world, is like the Egypt is symbolic of the world, that the world has got milk and honey, everything's flowing good out there, but being in the congregation of the Lord is nothing, it's garbage, it's death. When in reality, the world is death, and it's better to deny yourself and take up the cross, that is, to walk in the Spirit while you're here in this world, and deny the entire world and all of its lusts, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, of the pride of life, so that you don't have to go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so they're saying the world, Egypt, is better than being with the Lord. And now they're saying, because they had to turn back and go back towards the Red Sea and stay out on the desert, in the wilderness all these years now, they're uptight. And they're murmuring and complaining. And so they just want to just go back to Egypt or do something. They want to get rid of anybody that has any authority over them. Okay, because God already gave them the judgment. He pronounced the judgment on them. He said they're going to die in the wilderness. Every single one of them, with except Joshua and Caleb. Then go ahead. And there are millions of them. Then what else?
Verse 14, moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards.
Well, that was their own fault. They didn't want to go into the land of milk and honey. They were afraid. Afraid that God didn't have any power to protect them. So right there, by faith you're saved, and by doubt you're damned. And that's what God is doing here, is damning them. And now even the clergy today, the false prophets, are saying, God is all love. He would never kill his own people. And the only chosen people that God had in the world was the Jews. And he killed every single one of them except those that were age 20 and under. Okay, so, you know, you're deceived. This is a carefully staged act. But God keeps telling you how the thing is really going to end. He says he wins, and those that are with him win. And those of you that just have chosen to believe these false prophets and the people of in this political system that is run by Satan, his vicar on earth, the Pope, and their administration and the media, you're going to hell, and there's just no getting around it. Okay, then.
Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up.
Oh, in other words, you're not going to come and deceive us. We're not coming up to hear you talk anymore. We've heard enough of your God is love, your God is strict, and all this kind of stuff. We don't want to hear you, Moses, anymore. I mean, you got us out here, and we're suffering, and that's it. This is a cross out here, and we don't like it. Then what else?
Verse 15, and Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. Verse 16, and Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow.
Yeah, let's have a meeting here. Let's have some judgment. Let God tell us who's who and what's what. Okay, and then go ahead.
Verse 17, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also, and Aaron, each of you his censer.
Okay, and now the translation.
Verse 1 through 17. Korah's Rebellion. Verse 1. One day Korah, son of Izhar, a descendant of Kohath, son of Levi, actually the tribe of Levi, conspired with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, son of Peleth, from the tribe of Reuben. Verse 2. They incited a rebellion against Moses, involving 250 other prominent leaders, all members of the assembly. Verse 3. They went to Moses and Aaron and said, quote, "You have gone too far!" Exclamation mark. Everyone in Israel has been set apart by the Lord, and he is with all of us. What right do you have to act as though you are greater than anyone else among all these people of the Lord? Unquote. Verse 4.
Act? Oh, he wasn't acting. They're acting. They're the carefully staged plan to deceive. Moses was just simply doing what the Lord said. He didn't even want to do it, but he was just doing it. He wasn't puffed up. He didn't raise himself up. Neither did any real person of the Lord. Anyone that gets uptight or angry or upset with the people that are of the Lord, you're lost. That's all I can say. That's all I can tell you. You're gone. You want to get upset with authority? Authority will get upset with you. You're to fear the authority, the Bible says. And the New Testament even says. All right, then what else?
Verse 4. When Moses heard what they were saying, he threw himself down with his face to the ground. Verse 5. Then he said to Korah and his followers, quote, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show us who belongs to him and who is holy. The Lord will allow those who are chosen to enter his holy presence." Verse 6. "You, Korah, and all your followers must do this." Verse 7. "Take incense burners and burn incense in them tomorrow before the Lord."
I don't know, why didn't they know what to do? Moses, the leader, heard from the Lord and told them that they have to get these 250 censers together and do that. So he's the only one that really knows what's happening. The rest of them are blind and deceived by Satan, the prince of the air, this monster in the air that plants ideas and puffs people up and tells them that they have a right to sin and to do things that are the exact opposite of what the Lord tells them to do. Okay, but the Lord, only Moses knows what to tell them to do. And in their drunken stupor, their blindness, they admit, well, okay, we'll do it, yeah, we're used to taking orders, so we'll do that. Then what else?
"Then we will see whom the Lord chooses as his holy one. You Levites are the ones who have gone too far!" Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 8.
Amen. Then what?
"Then Moses spoke again to Korah, quote, now listen, you Levites!" Exclamation mark. Verse 9. "Does it seem a small thing to you that the God of Israel has chosen you from among all the people of Israel?"
See, now he's a real Christian, believer in Christ, because he had to believe in Christ in order to be saved. Okay, and he tells people that are evil what they've done. But anyone, you know, I hear from the people in the church, they say, well, this person said this, this, and this. And I say, well, what did you say? Well, I didn't know what to say. Well, then, you're not connected by the breastbone to God. Your breastbone is to be connected to the Lord's breastbone. How come you don't know what to say if you're a Christian, if the Spirit of God is in you? How come God can't speak out of your mouth after all these years, and you say you're of the Christian, you have a right to get uptight at authority? You don't even know. You're not connected by the breastbone to the Lord's breastbone. You're not connected by the Spirit. You're not bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh here on earth, and you're not connected with the Holy Spirit on this earth with the Lord. That's what I mean. Okay, then what else?
"Does it seem a small thing to you that the God of Israel has chosen you from among all the people of Israel to be near him as you serve him in the Lord's tabernacle, and to stand before the people to minister to them?"
You know, just being able to stand in the pulpit and give your testimony, I mean, is that a light thing to you, to have, be able to do that? And is it a light thing for you to be connected to the Spirit of the Lord and the Lord's Spirit to be connected to you? That's not enough for you? Well, it'd be enough for me. I was very content to just be a part of the congregation, and then the Lord pushed me into a leadership role, which I didn't care about one way or the other. As a matter of fact, I've always tried to put people ahead of myself. I'm the type of person that even in the world, I used to try to promote others instead of myself. I promoted Sonny and Cher. I helped promote Elvis Presley. I helped promote the Beatles, best of the Beatles. And one thing after the other. So many things I don't want to take the time to mention them because this is a long time ago, 40 and over 40 years ago. I'm not pushing myself. And I never pushed Susie. All I did was just the Lord pushed both of us and rose this up to where now even presidents are talking about it. Even if they're saying evil, false things, they're still talking about us. Amen?
Amen.
So that's something in itself. So evidently, the Lord has made his mark with us into their dense, dark, sinful brains. But then they have to twist what the Lord has shown them to something that is totally false. But that's their destiny. Falsehood and hell and the lake of fire. My destiny is the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. I want to take as many people as I can to heaven with me, and I'd love to take these presidents that are so far in darkness, so far deceived, and are taking part in this very carefully staged conspiracy against the souls of humanity and against God. I'd love to win their souls so that they could stand up in a pulpit and tell that Tony Alamo was right. God is right. Tony Alamo was telling us what God said. Amen? All right, then what?
Verse 10. He has given this special ministry only to you and your fellow Levites, but now you are demanding the priesthood as well! Exclamation mark. Verse 11. Then the one you are really revolting against is the Lord! Exclamation mark.
Amen. Clinton and Bush and Ronald Reagan and all these other presidents, they're not rebelling against me. They're rebelling against God. And they think they can win. That's how utterly stupid they are. You know, you have to be extra stupid. Just really retarded. Like the man that wrote the book says, like the UN asylum, a sane asylum. Amen? You're all part of that. You're insane. God said so. God, as prophets, wrote this book. You're part of the UN insane asylum, the world government insane asylum, the world cult insane asylum, the world media insane asylum. You can look into the faces of the people on television and see they're insane. They've gone mad. And the only way they're going to get out of that is to come to the Lord. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden with insanity and with madness, and that are in the Satan's asylum, and I'll give you rest from all your madness and insanity. Come unto me, you wicked, so that I can cleanse you of your sins and make you one with me. Lord God, I pray that this happens to some of them and that they'll get out and be bold to tell what they were in. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, keep going.
And who is Aaron that you are complaining about him? Verse 12. Then Moses summoned Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they replied, quote, "We refuse to come!" Exclamation mark. Verse 13.
Now they're really gone, these two. They're shot. And then what else?
Isn't it enough that you brought us out of Egypt, a land flowing with milk and honey, to kill us here in this wilderness? And that you now treat us like your subjects? Verse 14. What's more, you haven't brought us into the land flowing with milk and honey.
Yeah, they're the ones, they said they don't want to go in. Amen?
Amen.
They'd rather die, and they want to go back to Egypt to die there, and or on the wilderness, in the wilderness. They are the ones. He delivered them there to the land of milk and honey, of plenty, but they rebelled and wouldn't go in. Now they're blaming Moses for their rebellion. Okay, then what?
What's more, you haven't brought us into the land flowing with milk and honey, or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Are you trying to fool us? We will not come. Unquote. Verse 15.
No, Moses isn't fooling them. The devil did. Okay, then what else? The prince of the air. That monster that plants these ideas in people's brains. And it sticks in their brain like the hair in a drain. Amen?
Amen.
Because they just won't, you can't shake them out of it. Okay, then what else?
Then Moses became very angry and said to the Lord, quote, "Do not accept their offerings!" Exclamation mark. I have not taken so much as a donkey from them, and I've never hurt a single one of them. Unquote. Verse 16. And Moses said to Korah, quote, "Come here tomorrow and present yourself before the Lord with all your followers. Aaron will also be here." Verse 17. "Be sure that each of your 250 followers brings an incense burner with incense on it, so you can present them before the Lord. Aaron will also bring his incense burner." Unquote. King James Version, verse 18. "And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron." Verse 19. "And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation." Verse 20. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying," verse 21, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." Verse 22.
Wow, now we see who's right and wrong. Amen. Huh? Hey, praise the Lord. That means all these Clintons and Bushes and Reagans who honored the Bitburg war criminals, those Nazis that killed American soldiers, and all these other people, FDR, who let them bomb Pearl Harbor, and all these people, all the presidents that have been under the Pope. Well, you're going to see what the final judgment is here. You're going to see us, or myself and Sue, and others that are filled with the Spirit and obedient to the Lord, sailing up, and you're going to go down like sparks right down into hell and the lake of fire. Okay, then what else?
Verse 22.
And now some people that think they really know the Bible better than those that are highly chosen, they'll say, well, you're supposed to have said, if they don't repent. It's quite obvious that they're not going to repent, my dear. You're just in the same bucket with them. You listen to those of us that are perfect and keep your mouth shut. Okay, then what?
"And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation?"
Here, you know, that's what I say. Lord, if there's any possible way that they will repent, it doesn't seem like they will, but if they can, you know, don't send the whole administration and all the different people in the world to hell. Lord, if some of them get saved, will you save them? Of course he will. If they get saved and then don't believe the lie where once saved, always saved, or that the Lord wants you to assimilate into the worldly government, into the Satanist government, like you're going to stand a chance and to be able to say something there, you're crazy. And all these insane ministers that are false prophets, they're crazy. And they're satanic. They tell you to do such a thing. Or that God wants you to just enjoy yourself and have fun. There is not one scripture in the Bible, unless you want to twist the Bible, that says that. We enjoy ourselves only in the Lord, in the Spirit. We're only happy and perfect peace and sound mind in the Lord and doing what he says. Okay, and then what?
Verse 23. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," verse 24, "speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." Verse 25. "And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him." Verse 26. "And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins." Verse 27. "So they gat up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children." Verse 28. "And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind.
Oh, I didn't want to do this. I mean, I keep begging the Lord to give me that everyone should prophesy in the congregation, that everyone should, you know, be able to handle their own lives, their own selves, because, you know, I don't want to be bugged with it. I'm doing it because God commands me, and I know I'd go to hell if I didn't do it. That's what he's saying, and that's what I say, too. I would rather just, you know, not do what I do. But the Lord makes me do it, and if I woe be unto me if I don't do it. The Apostle Paul said the same thing. Okay, then what?
Verse 29. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me.
Yeah, if these guys die in a normal way, then the Lord hasn't sent me. But if God kills these people in a way that's never been done before in history, then know that I am of the Lord, and that these people were of the devil, is what he's saying. Okay, keep going.
Verse 30. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord.
Okay.
Translation, verse 18 through 30. So these men came with their incense burners, and placed burning coals and incense on them, and stood at the entrance of the tabernacle with Moses and Aaron. Verse 19. Meanwhile, Korah had stirred up the entire community against Moses and Aaron.
Carefully staging everything. But what good did it do him? Because he got swallowed whole and live right into hell with his whole family. Then what?
And they all assembled at the tabernacle entrance. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to the whole community. Verse 20. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, verse 21, quote, get away from these people so that I may instantly destroy them, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 22. But Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground. Quote, O God, the God and source of all life.
Wait a minute, God is love, and he says, I want to destroy all of them? Yeah, because he's also a God of hate and wrath and great wrath and vengeance and judgment and fire. And he drowned the whole world. As you say, this is the Old Testament. Read the New Testament, for God's sake. Don't listen to the false prophets. He says he's going to send all these kind of people into a lake of fire, right in the New Testament, and that they're going to burn and be tortured and be in agony forever and ever. Okay, then what?
They pleaded, quote, must you be angry with all the people when only one man sins? Unquote. Verse 23. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 24, quote, then tell all the people to get away from the tents of Korah and Dathan and Abiram, unquote. Verse 25. So Moses got up and rushed over to the tents of Dathan and Abiram, followed closely by the Israelite leaders. Verse 26, quote, quick, exclamation mark, unquote, he told the people, quote, get away from the tents of these wicked men, and don't touch anything that belongs to them. If you do, you will be destroyed for their sins. Unquote. Verse 27. So all the people stood back from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the entrance of their tents, with their wives and children and little ones. Verse 28.
They thought they were real righteous, boy. They had nothing going to happen to them. This guy, Moses, is a phony, just like the Clinton and Bush and all these phonies. And the Pope and the whole media and everything has been saying about us, that we're a cult, we brainwash and mind control people. They're the same, operating by the same devil that this Dathan and the rest of them did. Okay, we're going to go ahead.
Verse 28, and Moses said, quote, by this you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things that I have done, for I have not done them on my own. Verse 29, if these men die a natural death, then the Lord has not sent me. Verse 30. But if the Lord performs a miracle, and the ground opens up and swallows them and all their belongings, and they go down alive into the grave, then you will know that these men have despised the Lord. Unquote. King James Version, verse 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. Verse 32. and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. Verse 33.
Yeah, all these dignitaries, these hot shots. Then go ahead.
They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation.
Good riddance. Okay, then what?
Verse 34. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Verse 35. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense.
Okay, so all the hot shots, the big shots, got burned up too. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Verse 36.
And God did it. That wasn't the devil doing it, it was God. All right, then what?
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 37, speak unto Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. Verse 38, the censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. Verse 39, and Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar. Verse 40, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses.
Right, he had all those people do that to bring the incense there so the Lord would destroy him, because they knew that they dastn't offer incense unto the Lord, because they said they were priests. Okay, so if they were, then why did God destroy them and leave Aaron alive? All right.
Translation, verse 31 through 40. He had hardly finished speaking the words when the ground suddenly split open beneath them. Verse 32. The earth opened up and swallowed the men, along with their households and their followers who were standing with them, and everything they owned. Verse 33. So they went down alive into the grave, along with their belongings. The earth closed over them, and they all vanished. Verse 34. All of the people of Israel fled as they heard their screams, fearing that the earth would swallow them as well.
Yeah, and in hell they're screaming their heads off, just like this administration and this whole network of Satan's whole one world government, as cult and media is going to do. Okay, then what?
Verse 35.
If God was to come back right now, if the Lord is coming back, they'd all be screaming their heads off forever. So God has given them the space of time to repent, and they don't. Now they're offering, they all doing the same thing. They think that they have the right to pray. God doesn't even hear their prayers. They think they have the right to send the incense up to God. And all that does is infuriates God, because they're not a part of the nation of priests. They are the nation of Satan, the nation of hell. And they're in the lake of fire. Okay, so people that pretend that they're serving God, they are not of God. And people that preach some word, even if they preach 99% of it, then tell you that you're going to go to heaven, you're of the devil. Doesn't make any difference, because you tell people a lie. And you use the word of God to make your counterfeit work on some of the most stupid of the people of the world. You are a carefully programmed, carefully planned deception. Very careful, very slick. But God separated the men from the boys here. Amen?
Amen.
The wheat from the chaff. The sheep from the goats. Then what? And that he's going to do that real soon with all of you. Then what else?
Verse 35. Then fire blazed forth from the Lord and burned up the 250 men who were offering incense.
Yeah, they weren't priests. They just, you know, in their mind, they wanted to be, but God never chose them. And don't matter. You can't choose yourself to be a priest or to do things that the Lord has not called you to do. Then what else?
Verse 36.
You have to keep your place, boy. Amen?
Amen.
Like they say down south here. Keep yourself, girl. Keep your place, girl. Keep yourself, your place, boy. Then what else?
Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 37, quote, tell Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, to pull all the incense burners from the fire, for they are holy.
Yeah, take it out of their weasel burnt hands, okay? They're still gripping onto them. All right, then what else?
Also tell him to scatter the burning incense. Verse 38, from the burners of these men who have sinned at the cost of their lives. You must then hammer the metal of the incense burners into a sheet as a covering for the altar, for these burners have become holy because they were used in the Lord's presence. The altar covering will then serve as a warning to the people of Israel. Unquote. Verse 39.
So, yeah, as a warning to don't raise yourself up. Be humble. Keep yourself on your own level. And don't try to pull down God's chosen people to your rotten, dirty, filthy level, because God ain't going for it. Yeah. Okay, then what else?
So Eleazar the priest collected the 250 bronze incense burners that had been used by the men who died in the fire, and they were hammered out into a sheet of metal to cover the altar. Verse 40. This would warn the Israelites that no unauthorized man, no one who was not a descendant of Aaron, should ever enter the Lord's presence to burn incense. If anyone did, the same thing would happen to him as happened to Korah and his followers. Thus the Lord's instructions to Moses were carried out. King James Version, verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord.
See, that goes to show that's the symbolic of the whole world being deceived. No, the Lord killed them. Did Moses open up the earth and swallow them up? Did Moses rain fire down from heaven and burn them up? No, it was the Lord. Okay? But these people are so utterly stupid and so dense and dark that it's no wonder that God killed every single one of them and wouldn't let them into the promised land. Then what else?
Verse 42. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Verse 43. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 44. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 45, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. Verse 46. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. Verse 47. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation.
Now wait a minute, see, it shows that God gets angry. Amen?
Amen.
But I mean, everybody, so these false prophets say, no, no, he just laughs and he just wants you to enjoy yourself. Are these people enjoying themselves?
No.
Huh? Is Moses enjoying himself?
No.
No. Joyce Myers is, you know, a false prophet. And so is T.D. Jakes and most of the people out on the, on television today. There's a few good ones, very few. And what else?
And behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people.
See, the good ones on television, our church, our ministry supports. We've sent several thousand dollars to them, and we've had Armful of Help send several thousand dollars to these people. And we support the Jews. We are 100% for the Jewish nation. Not for all the Jews, but for the Jewish nation. And for the good Jews, and for the born again of the Spirit Jews, and we're not anti-Semitic at all. We would that every Jew would be saved. I myself am a Jew. I'm born Bernie Lazar Hoffman, not Tony Alamo. I changed my name to Tony Alamo when I was young man as an entertainer, a singer. Then what else?
Verse 48, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Verse 49, now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah.
Yeah, and God killed him. Does that sound like that he just loved him to pieces?
No.
No. So God killed the whole world, but he drowned all of them. Okay, and then what else?
Verse 50, and Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed.
You'd think people would wise up, because God hasn't changed and he didn't die. He's going to do the same thing to people today as he did then. And he does it. There's all kinds of plagues all over the world, and some of the false prophets are trying to put those plagues up, but it's you can't do that. God has plagued their people's water. He's caused famine, and people are dying, and they've got AIDS, and they've got all kinds of diseases, cancer and heart trouble. And people say, well, we just don't understand why God is letting this go on. Read the Bible. If you weren't such sinners, he would heal you. If you would get saved and come to the Lord, he would save your soul and heal you as well. But you won't, and so die. Die. That's what the Lord says, that you're going to die, and that's up to you. It all depends on you. So don't blame the Lord for what you're doing. Don't even blame it on the devil, because it all depends on you. If you get saved and serve the Lord, he'll heal you. And that's a promise. And what else?
Verse 41 through 50. Translation. But the very next morning, the whole community began muttering again against Moses and Aaron, saying, quote, you two have killed the Lord's people, exclamation mark, unquote.
They weren't the Lord's people. They were the devil's people. And they aren't as well, for murmuring about what God did, blaming Moses with it. Then what else?
Verse 42, as the people gathered to protest to Moses and Aaron, they turned toward the tabernacle and saw that the cloud had covered it, and the glorious presence of the Lord appeared. Verse 43, Moses and Aaron came and stood at the entrance of the tabernacle. Verse 44, and the Lord said to Moses, verse 45, quote, get away from these people so that I can instantly destroy them, exclamation mark, unquote. But Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground. Verse 46, and Moses said to Aaron, quote, quick, take an incense burner, and place burning coals on it from the altar. Lay incense on it, and carry it quickly among the people to make atonement for them. The Lord's anger is blazing among them. The plague has already begun, unquote. Verse 47, Aaron did as Moses told him, and ran out among the people. The plague indeed had already begun, but Aaron burned the incense and made atonement for them. Verse 48, he stood between the living and the dead until the plague was stopped. Verse 49, but 14,700 people died in that plague, in addition to those who had died in the incident involving Korah. Verse 50, then because the plague had stopped, Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance of the tabernacle.
Okay, and that was the last verse in Numbers, the 16th chapter, and now we've got some commentary, as though I haven't commented enough. Then what else?
16 verse 1 through chapter 18 verse 32. These three chapters narrate the events that reaffirmed the divinely appointed structure of Moses as political leader and Aaron and his descendants as the worship leader superior to the Levites, who in turn are chosen from the Israelites to minister in the sanctuary. 16 verse 1 through 50. Verses 1 through 40 narrate a twofold rebellion against Mosaic and Aaronic authority, the end of which was the making of a memorial covering for the altar, to assert the choice of Aaron and his descendants as priests.
Yeah, so these carefully staged speeches that they made are the same thing. You hear presidents or people that are running for president saying, we are carefully planning or staging our speech that we're going to give to the people. Nothing coming from their heart and soul and their reality, because after they get voted in, the Catholics are doing what the pontiff in Rome tells them to do, City of the Seven Hills, or Mountains, and it's just carefully staged speeches, even. I mean, how can people be so stupid? They pay big money, big bucks, for all these speech writers. And it's all carefully staged words. And remember, Hitler said words are better than bombs. People believe them. And, you know, that's... But you should be studying the words of God and believe those words. But you don't do that. And that's why you're in trouble with the Lord. Okay, then what?
In verses 41 through 50, the people complain about the punishment of the rebels, and the plague is unleashed against them until Aaron atones for them under the instructions of Moses from the Lord.
See, Aaron didn't know what to do until Moses told him. Amen?
Amen.
Because Moses was God's man, his prophet. He said to Aaron, now Moses will be as God to you. He told Moses that Aaron will be your prophet and you will be as God to him. Okay, then what else? And so you don't know anything. A prophet doesn't know anything until God tells them. Okay, then what?
16 verse 1 through 3.
That's why if you don't know the Lord, you're in darkness. You don't know anything. Then what else?
The people mentioned are working in collusion, but Korah is later described as Aaron's antagonist.
Yeah, in collusion. That means in conspiracy. Carefully staged conspiracy. Okay, then what else? That's why they all had to die. Anyone that's even any little part of the conspiracy, the collusion, they have to die because you're conspiring, carefully staging an event against God's people. And you are condemned to die. Then what else?
And Dathan and Abiram are Moses' antagonists. It is a religious as well as a civil rebellion, grounded in a contest of the unique exclusive roles Moses has introduced. Verse 3.
Yeah, I've had people in my congregation says, yeah, we were uptight at you, we were rebelling against you. That doesn't hurt me. They call and say, well, we're sorry, and all that kind of stuff. Tell it to God. To me, I'm, as to say, dead. I mean, you can't hurt me with words. Because any more than you could Moses. I know who I am, and I know who called me, and I've seen him, and I've seen heaven and hell, and you're nothing to me if you want to raise up against me. I didn't call myself. The Lord called me. Then what?
16 verse 4 through 11. Moses deals with Korah, who represented a faction of the Levites, who wanted priestly prerogatives as well as their own duties. See chapters 3 through 4. First, he devises a test to prove Aaron's right to bear the incense in the tabernacle, verses 4 through 7. And then he rebukes them for not appreciating the significance of the ministry of which the Lord called them, verse 8 through 11. 16 verse 12 through 15. Moses turns to deal with those who challenge his own position, but they refuse to appear before him, fearing reprisal. The objection to Moses' leadership is that he backed away from the promised land and returned to the wilderness, verse 13. This was under the instructions of the Lord, and had not been successful in entering it since then, verse 14. To apply a secular standard of success to a spiritual leader is to miss the point.
Right, like Clinton says that I promoted Susie, and when she died I lost my my product. Again, I didn't know anything about promoting any spiritual person any more than I knew how to promote any political person. I didn't know how. The Lord raised Sue and myself up. It was a phenomenon. And today it's even as big of a phenomenon now as it was then, because now we've gone worldwide. It's spread like a fire. Okay, and so former President Clinton, you're all full of beans. Okay, then what else? You're going to stand trial. Don't you realize that? You smug, fresh article you. I said that because a teacher called me a fresh article when I was a kid, and while she was spanking my hand with a ruler. But I've repented since then. Okay, then what?
The successful spiritual leader is one who follows divine guidance, not the will of the people.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Clinton, Mr. Bush, I can't, and Mr. Pope, and all you other people out there, I can't do what you want. I have to do what the Lord says, and that means if you're of the devil, I have to, you know, come out and get you. Tell you, okay? I have to tell you. And what else?
16, verse 16 through 35. Confrontation occurs in two places. The tent of meeting, verses 18 through 24 and verse 35, and the individual tents of the leaders of the rebellion, verses 25 through 34. 16, verse 22. The spirits of all flesh refers to the vital power that distinguishes the living from the dead. God, as the giver of life, is appealed to in order to preserve the congregation from death. 16, verse 30. The pit, or being swallowed up into, is Sheol, the Old Testament abode, place of the dead. It's the grave. Hell is quite another place, and the lake of fire is yet another place. 16, verse 38. Even profane fire offered before the Lord here is holy, so the materials could not be used for profane purposes again. According to Exodus 27...
See, the body goes to Sheol, the grave, but the spirit goes to hell. And the body goes to the ground or wherever it's buried, and the spirit goes to heaven. The spirit doesn't stay in the ground, okay? And the spirit is the real you, and if you're going to heaven, then your spirit will be reunited with your transformed body. Your spirit and your body will be transformed and reunited, and it will not be flesh anymore. It'll be transformed into an ecclesiastical being, because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But you'll look like you do here, only a million, you'll be perfect, and you'll be very beautiful. Very beautiful. You can't explain it. You just have to see it. Then what else?
According to Exodus 27:22, the altar had already been overlaid with bronze. This text implies a double overlay of this bronze material, the second serving as a memorial sign. 16, verse 41 through 50. Again we see the plague as punishment from the Lord against a people slow to learn by the lessons, but the Lord teaches them a lesson.
Right, and all the plagues today are caused from the Lord. A lot of people, the media, the newscasters, led by the Pope, say it's Mother Nature. But the Bible says that all these plagues are coming from the Lord in these last days. Pestilence and earthquakes in different places, and fire and the famines and pestilence, fire, plagues of famine and floods and... all the ones mentioned in chapter 24 of Matthew. Then what else?
The censer as a means of atonement on Aaron's part is fitting, since that was the source of the earlier dispute. The Lord honored the legitimate offering of Aaron in contrast to those he destroyed earlier, who had offered unauthorized incense. Verse 35. Aaron's ministry is steadfastly confirmed over and over again.
All right, that was the 16th chapter of Numbers, and we'll be doing chapter 17 this evening. Remember all these things. You cannot rise up against God and make him and have your way and do what you want. You have to be humble and take the leading of the Lord and take whatever level of life it is that the Lord has given you and let him promote you. And if he says that only a certain person is a leader, then back off, because you're not going to be anybody. You're not going to appoint yourself for anything, not according to the Lord and according to the entire Word of God. So think about these things, meditate upon them, which means to think about them, and remember that you're living in the same body. The Spirit of God is living in the same body with your spirit, which he rose from death, and you're alive now. And remember that this body that you're in, you used to sin in, and keep it under subjection to the Holy Spirit. Carry the cross, which means the same thing as walk in the Spirit. Till then, God bless you and praise the Lord.